Thank you for downloading this audio podcast from the Vocalise London Beyond Sight project.
Hi, I'm Matthew Taylor and I'm Chief Executive of the RSA. The Royal Society for the Encouragement of Arts, Manufactures and Commerce was founded in a coffee shop in Covent Garden in 1754, and now we have 27,000 fellows. It was in 1774 that the RSA moved to its current home here in John Adam Street, just off the Strand. The house was designed for the society by the famous architect Robert Adam as part of the overall Adelphi development. We here at the RSA have just completed a refurbishment of the public spaces, and in doing so, we've tried to embody the ambitions we have for the organisation itself, a combination of the best of the old and the best of the new. The RSA has been around for over 250 years, but we don't want to rest on our laurels. Some elements of the work have involved a return to past glories. For example, we removed carpets to reveal the 19th century mosaics on the main staircase. But at the same time, we brought in the latest technology. The new chandelier in the Benjamin Franklin room is a good example. It uses state-of-the-art lighting technology, but it looks a bit like a set of old-fashioned round lenses edged in metal, reminding us of the work of Franklin himself, who was not only an active member of the RSA, but a great innovator, and amongst his inventions was the bifocal lens. I'm particularly excited about the refurbishment of the Great Room, which was the centrepiece of Adam's design. The room combines scale and intimacy. It's big enough, with room for 180 people, to create a real sense of occasion, something of an event when you come here. But it's also intimate enough so that speakers feel they're speaking to everyone in the room and listeners feel that they are real participants in an event. The recent refurbishments have increased the intimacy of the room, while I believe restoring its historical grandeur. When you enter the Great Room, after climbing the four short flights of mosaic-covered stairs from the reception at the John Adam Street entrance, you find yourself facing the longer wall of a squarish room. It's about 12 metres by 10 metres. A skylight dome in the high ceiling lets light flood down from above. The room is dominated by the vast murals which run around all four walls, well above head height. There are six paintings, some made up of three panels side by side, and each of those panels is huge, 3.5 metres high and 4.5 metres wide. The wall below the murals is painted beige, interspersed with elegant white pilasters with moulded plaster motifs. The pilasters stand on a dado rail that runs around the room at about hip height. And from here down to the floor, there's wooden panelling painted dark green. The sequence of six paintings is entitled The Progress of Human Knowledge and Culture and was commissioned by the Society from the very eccentric Irish artist James Barry. Completed between 1777 and 1784, the paintings are quite sombre in tone and are crowded with portraits of historical figures, ranging from the classical period to famous artists and scientists of Barry's own era. The first painting presents the myth of the musician Orpheus, shown with his lyre in a pastoral landscape. The second painting remains in the ancient world. Dancers in sandals and loose robes celebrate the harvest home by circling a Janus-faced statue with two heads decked with garlands of flowers. The third picture has a renewed topicality, thinking of London 2012, because it depicts classical Greece and the crowning of victors in the Olympiad. A runner approaches the judges to receive an olive wreath. Behind him is a chariot rider. Barry includes a self-portrait in the bottom left-hand corner, appearing as the classical painter Timanthes. The fourth painting presents England's history in mythical form, with Father Thames portrayed as a bearded river god, surrounded by sea nymphs, and the explorers Drake, Raleigh, Cabot, and the only recently deceased Captain Cook. Overhead is Mercury, summoning the nations of Europe, America, Africa, and Asia. The fifth painting shows the founders of the Royal Society of Arts itself and other associated worthies with items of technology and trade, such as cotton, iron, paper, even a silver teapot. In the background, there's the neoclassical facade of contemporary London buildings, Somerset House and St. Paul's Cathedral. And the last painting in the sequence, originally called Elysium and Tartarus, or The State of Final Retribution, hangs above the main door to the room. It's a vision of paradise, peopled with philosophers, artists, scientists, and inventors from different historical periods. Barry kept repainting the portraits for 20 years as he changed his mind about who should and who should not be included in his pantheon. The lower right-hand third of the image is very dark. Spiny tails, horns, and the bodies of tormented sinners, including a dethroned king, they tumble through the gloom. But the progressive forces of knowledge and culture, as Barry describes them in his overall title for the sequence, well, they seem to be pushing this vision of hell back into a corner. Rather overwhelmed by these epic scenes, the room also has two full-length portraits of the Society's first presidents. In the centre of the left wall, there's a painting of Robert, Lord Romney, by Sir Joshua Reynolds, and facing it, on the opposite wall, is Gainsborough's portrait of Jacob, Viscount Folkestone. Both wear white powdered wigs and ceremonial robes of red velvet trimmed with ermine, and they have swords hanging at their waists. I have to admit I'm ambivalent about Barry's sequence of paintings. Overall, it's a bit of a curate's egg. Some panels are undoubtedly fine art, but I don't think others are quite so good. But I'm enthusiastic about the story the painting tells, about the idea of human development. It just seems really appropriate for a progressive organisation like the RSA. And I like the fact that it's not just portraits of founding fathers that are on display in the Great Room. The paintings that make up the progress of human knowledge and culture speak to the idea of evolution and of human development, and those are exactly the themes of the modern RSA. The changes we've made to the Great Room, well, they bring the James Barry painting alive. Partly that's down to better lighting, but it's also because you have equal access to all four walls now that we've taken out the fixed raked seating that used to be here. Instead, we have a flat parquet floor as it was originally, with stacking chairs available as needed. It also means we can use the room for weddings, for fashion shows, and rearrange it in various ways for different kinds of discussions and debates. And the refurbishment has changed the orientation of the room. Previously, a gangway giving access to the seating ran the length of the room. Now the distance between the speaker and a person sitting in the back row is only the width of the room, so it really feels much more intimate. Video screens relay what's happening in the Great Room to other spaces in the building, so if you can't get into a lecture, you can watch it or listen to it anywhere else in the building. And improved technology makes it much easier to record talks and put them straight onto the internet so that people who are not in London, who can't get to John Adam Street, can participate. I'm proud that over the last 18 months, about 60 million RSA lectures have been downloaded from the internet all around the world. And my hope is that with the new Great Room, more and more people will enjoy our lectures wherever they are. I think the room has its own particular timbre, and I hope that the special atmosphere of the Great Room will become associated with high-quality, interesting ideas. I used to work in 10 Downing Street. When I walked to work, I never forgot what a privilege it was to work at the centre of power. But you know, here in John Adam Street, we as members of staff are also privileged to work in a beautiful building, to walk through lovely public spaces, and to be able to listen to inspiring lectures at the end of a working day. But there's a problem. Whilst the front of the building is wonderful now, the back office spaces are not very nice. If you like, it's a case of public grandeur and private squalor. So next, we're going to work on those spaces, the spaces the public doesn't currently see. And we've got a radical idea here too. We want to create spaces where staff, and fellows and guests can mingle together so that those spaces feel like a hybrid area, focused not on people working in silos or on particular projects, but just a space where any kind of idea, any kind of conversation is allowed to flourish. I think that that too will be a space that speaks to the RSA's modern vision, and that is a really exciting prospect.